Welcome to the pastor's thoughts today, and along with prayers, as we pray a prayer of intercession for all of those that are on our prayer list. But today, my thoughts sometimes are original, sometimes they're not original, and I just wanted to share something with you. If you remember when Jack Van Impe was alive, we did a study on the book of Revelation with the book that he wrote. Him and his wife, Rexella, were pastors in them, but Jack has since went home to be with the Lord, but his wife, Rexella, keeps on with his ministry. And I get their newsletters, and something really hit me today that I want to share with you, and I hope I can do it justice. Because as we look around in our area, not so much in Monticello, but like when we come to the church on Sunday and we're going down Tennessee Street, we see all the homeless people and all the people that you wonder about. Just sort of breaks your heart the way that they live, and you wonder, do they want to live that way or whatever? I don't know. I am not judging because I got out of the judging business a long time ago. But this newsletter came with a story that they experienced, and I want to share with you, and it's entitled Just a Cup of Coffee, Please. She reflects on the news media, which we do, and calling attention to a large number of homeless people and hungry people in our nation's big cities, and even, well, Tallahassee's not that big, but it's a good-sized city. And she goes on to say the scenes of people sleeping on benches, huddling in cardboard boxes, or looking through garbage cans for food are pitiful and troubling. While many of these individuals have ended up on the streets through misfortune, sometimes beyond their control, even sadder, there are cases that are largely by choice. She said, I was praying about this problem and thinking about it, and it occurred to me being Rexella, she's talking, and I'm telling you this as a story, that while not homeless and destitute, most of us, in a spiritual sense, has gotten by with a cup of coffee in a spiritual sense, and maybe even a little morsel of bread in the physical sense, when we could be feasting on God's plentiful banquet of spiritual manna. James chapter 4, verse 2 says this, ye have not because you ask not. She goes on to tell the story. She said, my husband Jack and I have a favorite little home cooking cafe in our neighborhood where we visit just the two of us. And it's not fancy at all, but it's a cozy, comfortable place where we can relax and the food is good. We go there often enough to know most of the waitresses and many of the regular customers. She goes on to say, for weeks we noticed that a certain man was always in the cafe sitting at the counter. He looked as though he might be homeless. His dress is very much worn and his clothes are really shabby, which probably hadn't been laundered in weeks. He was always alone. Never did we see him with a friend or ever having a conversation with any of the people in the restaurant, with the waitresses or even a friend. We noticed that happened a lot. And he just sits at the counter. Now his countenance was drawn and sad, and one could sense that he had known much sorrow in his lifetime. The waitresses told us that he ate only once a day, then the rest of the time he drank coffee. Buy one cup and the refills are free. You remember those times in the diners? That was common. She goes on to say that Jack and I felt terribly sorry for this man. And one night, as we were having a light dinner, we looked over at him sitting alone at the counter, nursing his cup of coffee, and it made us sad. My hubby called over the waitress and said, waitress, could you give that man the best dinner in the house and bring me the bill? Let him pick out anything on the menu and tell him a friend had picked up the tab. Oh, no, Dr. Van Impe, you don't need to do that, said the waitress. Jack said, yeah, but I want to. He looks like he needs a good meal, and I'd just like to help him a little. No, Mr. Van Bimpy, you don't understand. That's Mr. So-and-so. And she named a very well-known name in the community and a very wealthy local family. He goes on to say his father owned much of the land that is now part of the city. And he's heir to millions. But he looks so underprivileged, Jack said. Yeah, I know, the waitress said, but he's really a multimillionaire, but he lives like a pauper by choice. Now, I haven't seen that poor man or sad man recently, but I've been thinking about his situation as we look around and see all the other situations that are around us and we see on the news media all the time. Could it be that many Christians are living like spiritual paupers when they could be enjoying God's manifested blessings every day in their lives? Are they settling for just a cup of coffee when they could be feasting at the Lord's banquet table? She said, as we face the future, are we anxious about what lies ahead? We think about that. Will it be a time of happiness or blessing or endless loneliness and deprivation? Well, maybe we ought to change our wardrobe. She goes on to tell the story. She said, you know, that old man in the cafe was dressed in warm, shabby clothes, yet he could have been wearing the finest suit from the best tailor in town. What are you wearing? Talking about you and me. She said, the prophet Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, and my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he had covered himself with ornaments, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Clothe yourself in the wardrobe of God. God has provided for all of us. Get dressed in his righteousness. And see what a change his garments will make on your whole outlook in life. And you'll discover a new awareness of God as your sustainer and protector. You'll stand tall and walk in trust and confidence. So, think about it and resolve to stop dressing like the world and get clothed in his righteousness. And she goes on to say, put sadness aside. The old man in the cafe looks so sad, as if the weight of the world was on his shoulders. Yeah, probably from a worldly perspective, he had everything that we found out. And he was from a very prominent family with every possibility of financial advantage at his disposal. If money could buy happiness, he could have had it all. Now, Christianity is the most joyful of all religions in the world. Yet, we often manage to make it appear to be sad and mournful by our actions and even our countenance. Mark Twain once had his famous character Huck Finn wondering if the mule in the barn had got religion because of its long face. Well, the psalmist talked about it in Psalm 4 and Psalm 107. He said, Thou hast put on gladness in my heart, for he has satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, I think, and I agree with Rexella, that sometimes we develop a bad habit of letting our faces reflect the care and the confusion of the world around us instead of the joy and the peace of the Lord welling up inside of us. So, if we develop bad habits or letting our faces reflect the care and the confusion of the world instead of the joy, the peace of the Lord welling up in us, if we have full access to God's goodness and gladness and blessingness, shouldn't our faces show it? I like that song. If you're happy and you know it, let your hands face and happy. I forget how the words go, but you know, I really reflect on what she's saying. So as Christians, our future is as bright as the promises of God, and the Word of God is filled with wonderful promises. Some of the favorite messages includes Christ's promises to us when he said, I am, lo, I am always with you even to the end of the world, Matthew 28:20, and God's assurance that the day shall be thy strength, Deuteronomy 33:25. So if we believe God, we have something to smile about, amen? But we got to be a friend. And the times that we observed that old man in the cafe, she said, Jack and I never saw him with a friend or ever being friendly with those around. While others had pleasant conversation and shared personal things with each other, that old man just sat alone without a friend. How sad. But, I love the buts, while true friendship is measured by more than just hello and conversation, some people have no friends because they will not let anyone get close to them. The writer of Proverbs says this, a man that hath his friends must show himself friendly, and if there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. So we need to be friends to each other. We need to share the fellowship and the companionship in return. And this is an important type part of life. But even if earthly friends do fail us in times of trouble, we can be secure in knowing that we can have a friend who sticks closer than a brother in good times and bad times. I think we know that we can count on him because he said, Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. When we have a friend like Jesus, we don't need to rely on anything else, right? I love that gospel song. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Well, that is the theme for this pastor's thoughts and prayers, because we do take everything to God in prayer. And I hope you enjoyed that little story. You know, I can relate to a lot of it, and I'm sure you can too, as we go around in our community and we see people and we wonder, you know, about the situation that they have. We're sometimes not willing to go and just put our arms around somebody and say, you look sad. Can I help you with anything? Or, you know, share those little things that we're passing out that's like sort of like an agape thing that Mark and Joanne brought back, and Tina and her co-worker Janet put them together in little packages. They're laying there in the narthex. Every time I give one of those away to somebody, you got the biggest wonderful smile. So if you don't have any and you would like to have some, call me or call Phil and we'll send you some. It's just a wonderful door opener to share God's love with others. Well, we do have a lot of people on our prayer list, and you can see it by clicking on the prayer list, and you can see all the ones that we have on. And we always know there's prayers that are not mentioned or listed there that we can come into a prayer of agreement with, and we call it intercessory prayer. So we close this segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to the disciples, because they wanted to know how to talk to the Father. And he said, here's a model prayer that you can do for all of your prayers to line up with. As we pray the prayer Jesus taught, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor's Thoughts. I pray that you enjoyed that little story from Dr. Jack Van Impe and his wife, Rexella. Have a wonderful, blessed day.